It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Best Buy names a new chief.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. Struggling electronics retailer Best Buy has named a new chief executive. Frenchman Hubert Joly will likely take the helm in early September. For the latest on the electronics retailer, our own Scott Tong joins us live from Washington. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Scott, who is this new CEO?
Well, Hubert Joly, he's a Frenchman. And until the Sunday announcement, he had been running a restaurant and hospitality chain, the parent company of Radisson Hotels and TGI Fridays. So they're bringing someone outside of the electronics industry, clearly. And Joly takes over a company that's lost its founder. The chairman had left the company not long ago, and its previous CEO in the spring. Stock's been cut in half the last 4 years, and the company's lost more than $1 billion the last year. So, a lot of issues going on.
There's been a lot of talk about Best Buy maybe going private, right?
Well, that's right, because there are just a lot of struggles going on. I mean, let me ask you, Stacey, what are the last two electronic things you've bought?
Well, I got a laptop, but I got it online, I guess. I didn't actually go into a store to get it.
That's the problem, right? And if you're a big box company...
I'm part of the problem.
Well, we all are, I suppose, and Best Buy, has been facing a lot of issues with so many people going around the store, not even going to a store. So you have that issue. It faced Circuit City, which, is no longer part of our lexicon. Part of the atmosphere of this is the founder of the company, Richard Schulz, he owns 20%, had been talking about, maybe taking the company private to borrow a ton of money and get some private equity partners and buy the company from the current shareholders. So that's part of what's happening. There's somebody new who is going to be steering. So a lot of questions going forward.
Scott Tong in Washington. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Overseas markets are mixed this morning. London's FTSE is down just a hair, basically flat. Germany's DAX is up 0.25%. Asian markets were mixed. American Airlines reached a deal with its flight attendants over the weekend. It should help the bankrupt airline cut labor costs. American has says it needs to pare labor costs by more than $1 billion. U.S. markets ended last week on an up note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.2% to close at 13,275. It's back to school time, which means it's back to school lunchtime. This year, kids' lunch choices are going to be a little different, as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Public school cafeterias serve nearly 32 million kids every day, which, if you think about it, is a whole lot of pizzas. And now, under new federal guidelines, a whole lot more fruits and vegetables, which may require a little getting used to.
And people say, oh, kids won't eat fruits and vegetables. Well, the reason they don't eat it is because they don't know what it is. They've not seen it at home.
Dr. Janie Thornton is Deputy Undersecretary at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Under the new guidelines, kids have to take a fruit or a vegetable at lunch. Made-over menus also include more whole grains and healthier milk choices. But the change doesn't come cheap. David Binkle is Interim Director of Food Services for L.A. Schools.
Well, the new rules, we'll expect to see somewhere around a 12% increase in terms of the cost.
Nationwide, the veggier, fruitier, healthier menus are expected to cost an extra $3 billion over the next 5 years. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
You might hear Memphis and think Beale Street, the blues, and Elvis Presley. But outside the spotlights, Memphis is dealing with major urban challenges. So the city is launching a PR campaign aimed in part at bringing former residents back to the city. From WPLN, Blake Farmer reports.
A minute-long web ad has an uncanny resemblance to a popular Chrysler commercial about the Motor City. This spot describes Memphis as real and raw.
The stage is set. This is Memphis. This is the comeback.
The comeback campaign includes strategically placed billboards in nearby metropolitan areas like Little Rock, St. Louis, and Nashville. Memphis has been shrinking. Mary Casciola works in the mayor's office and says the campaign is meant to tap a deep-rooted Memphis loyalty.
The feeling is always like, well, I'm going to be back one day. And so this campaign asks, well, why not today?
Casciola points to the green shoots of a turnaround. Unemployment dropped below double digits. $1 billion in economic development was announced for the city last year. And on Broadway, Memphis the Musical won a Tony.
All I know is Memphis lives in.
The comeback campaign targets prospective tourists as well as people like Youth Minister David Rubio. He moved his family to Nashville 7 years ago, and unlike some Memphis expats, he feels an unexplained draw to move back.
I will frequently have a conversation that goes something like this. Oh, you're from Memphis, and aren't you glad you got out of there? You know, isn't it great to be free?
Rubio bristles at the negative stereotypes, even if some are deserved. He cringes when Memphis ends up at the top of some horrible list like infant mortality rates. Will a PR campaign make the hometown pull irresistible?
I hope the comeback happens, even if it happens without me.
For now, Rubio says he'll be rooting for Memphis, but from 3 hours east. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And finally, just in time for the end of the summer travel season, U.S. News & World Report has released a list of the worst airports for layovers. Airports were judged on punctuality and passenger opinions. The third worst airport, LAX in Los Angeles. People found it confusing and unfriendly. The second worst airport, Washington Dulles, blamed that on a lot of late departures. And the worst airport to be caught in during a layover, Newark. Over a quarter of its flights leave late, and passengers complained there weren't very many retail or entertainment options. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.